This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com. She likes the pleasure of his company.
She comes inside room. Back at it, kicking off hour number two, Longshore and McKnight, as the Budweiser Sports Line rolls on with our buddy Rodney Orr. He's the Tider Insider on our Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. Hey, Rodney, good morning. How you doing?
How you doing? Great, John. Barry, how are you guys?
Doing great and looking forward to the NFL draft tonight. We're certainly going to ask you some thoughts on some of the players a little bit later on. But in a timely fashion, we need to ask you your thoughts about A-Day this past weekend for Alabama. And any real surprises or anybody that you thought may have made a push for playing time in the fall from what they did Saturday afternoon?
Well, I don't know that it was really a surprise, but I thought that Raekwon Davis on the defensive line, Quinnen Williams, I thought both of those young players, Raekwon Davis just a sophomore and Quinnen a redshirt freshman, I think the promising thing about what they did, they showed some flashes that, you know, those are two guys that can come in on the defensive line, an area that really needs some help in terms of depth. And I think you look at those two guys, and I think they showed that they're in position to kind of contribute and help out there. So I thought that was really big. I thought, obviously, when you look at it, though, the thing that really jumps out at you, number one was what we had said, first of all, on your show a couple of weeks ago, was that, you know, when you look at this team, they're obviously very talented, a lot of young talent, unbelievable young talent. But there's a lot of inexperience, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of development this team's going to have to make over the course of the offseason and then the fall camp as they head into the season. So, but I do think that when you look at some of those young players, the freshmen, then you look at a guy like Terrell Hall, just a sophomore, the plays mm-hmm. he made, it's pretty impressive.
Do you believe there's more talent on this team now than there was this time last year?
Probably, if I had to. Yeah, probably. If I just sat down and thought about it, I would say yes. Now, again, it depends on the spots. We're talking about sheer talent. We're not talking about, you know, Reuben Foster, Jonathan Allen, all of those guys on the defensive side. It's kind of hard to say that there's more talent, you know, than those guys in their spots. But they had established themselves over time and their leadership and all of that. But with that said, what I'm saying is that I think when you look at some of the guys now, I think when you look at a Dylan Moses, you know, when you look at some of the other younger guys, Terrell Hall, Trevon Diggs, even though he did not have a great A-Day game, he's a guy that has tremendous potential. I think when you look at some of those young guys, Mack Wilson is another one. I mean, we're seeing a lot of guys that are very gifted that as they develop, they're going to be, you know, right there with this group that just left.
Rodney, to you, what is the most plausible way that Alabama will handle the quarterback position? Will it be Jalen Hurts, a starter, obviously, with a package for Tagovailoa? Will they? How do you think that'll play out in the fall in terms of how they will use their talented quarterbacks?
Well, you know, Nick Saban said the other day there's really not a competition. I think he mm-hmm. was quoted as saying that. Isn't that what he said?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, there really yeah. isn't a yeah. quarterback competition.
There really isn't a competition. Well, I think we have to be careful how we interpret that, because what I mean is that that's kind of the most anti-Nick Saban thing ever, to say there's not competition, because he always preaches competition. So I think what he was saying was there's not a competition, which implies the job's up for grabs. So he's saying the job's not up for grabs, because guess what? Jalen Hurts deserves to be the number one guy. He's established himself. He's a returning SEC Offensive Player of the Year and all of those things. Does that mean that eventually something couldn't happen, that Tua won the job? No, I don't think that's what he was saying at all. I just think that right now Jalen Hurts high, and if something goes awry one way or the other, then – you know, Tua Tagovailoa will certainly have an opportunity to be. I think he, when you look at him, and you guys may agree or may not agree, but he is very impressive just throwing the football and the decision-making and all of those things that he does. With that said, I thought Jalen's obviously made a lot of improvement throwing the ball down the field accurately. And also, we have to remember, some of his game was taken away from him in that A-Day because, you know, here's a guy that if the rush is coming, you know, he can take off and really do some major damage.
I think that's where people have forgotten about, Rodney. Everybody's gotten all excited and worked up about Tagovailoa. But Jalen Hurts is a very good runner. He could not showcase that Saturday in the game because of the way the rules were laid out. But I'm not sure Tagovailoa is the runner that Jalen Hurts is. And if this aerial attack of what we saw out of Hurts Saturday continues to improve, there's no way this guy beats him out.
Well, it's hard. I mean, how could you do it? I mean, you're talking about a returning guy who's done all the things that he's done. And then if he continues to on that track that you're talking about, I mean, this could be almost unstoppable because of his ability to run and if he can make the throws and so forth. You know, again, we'll see. There's one thing for sure. It's better to have two like this than not have any.
No kidding. Rodney Orr, TigerInsider.com, post A-Day a recap from what's been going on with Alabama football. During the summer, what's the framework? Obviously, they got off-season workouts and all that kind of stuff, but it's also a big time for recruiting as well. What exactly goes on before fall camp starts now for football?
Man, it's amazing because these coaches really don't have any time off. I mean, right now they're getting ready to go out on the spring evaluation to the assistant coaches going out on the road evaluating high school and junior college prospects. Then they get back. They barely have time to take a break. And you've got the camps that start up in early June. There's probably four or five camps that run through June and July where kids come in for several days and not only prospects, but just kids that want to go through camp, younger kids as well. So, you know, they're really tied up. And then you also have the off-season program or the summer program going on with the players who are, you know, they're in Scott Cochran's kingdom then. And, you know, they're in there developing what they do physically. And so it's really nonstop. And then before you know it, we're going to be talking SEC media days. And camp opens up, you know, probably the first week of August, as it usually does. And, you know, we're there. I mean, we're on the way. So it's really nonstop between now and the start of the season.
Yeah, it never cools down. We certainly know about that. What are you expecting out of tonight's NFL draft? I mean, obviously, we're no draft experts like allegedly these guys on TV are. Mock drafts, I've never figured that out. But obviously, there's a lot of talent. There's a lot of Alabama players, former Alabama players, who are predicted to go quite early tonight and tomorrow. Your thoughts about just how many players Saban has put in the draft compared to, well, the number of players that went into the draft pre-Saban?
Well, I think that's my laugh kind of tells it all, doesn't it? How many have they had, John? 19, 18 first round, whatever it is. I don't even know. It's been incredible. I don't keep up with the numbers that much. But the number of first rounders has just been unbelievable. I mean, what Alabama's done, and, you know, you look in the NFL and how many they've had drafted since 2010, I think it is. It's like, you know, eight or nine ahead of anyone else. You know, the first rounders, they're seven or eight ahead of anyone else. Any other school, any other program. So it's been a phenomenal deal, and it's only going to be added to tonight, it appears. Everyone seems to think there's at least three surefire first-round picks for Alabama, O.J. Howard, Jonathan Allen, and Reuben Foster. That seems to be, unless that's changed overnight, but that seems to be the sentiment, the belief. And then you've got couple other guys that a lot of people think may end up in the first round too, Marlon Humphrey and also Cam Robinson. And I think, John, Barry, that would set a record, would it not? If you have five, isn't the record four?
I believe he could be right on that. It seems like Miami and Florida State were certainly doing
and
things
like
that.
And I think Ohio State had four, last year, whatever it was.
I think so.
Well, Rodney, One of the points I want to make about this is, yes, you know, I remember 2008, Alabama didn't have anybody drafted, nobody in any round, which boggles the mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not disagreeing with your point about the number of first round draft picks, and that has been compelling. But it's also the second and third line guys. I think the depth of Alabama's accomplishments is probably best illustrated by the guys who don't go in the first round. Just how many there are, people like. Now, I think Dalvin Tomlinson will get drafted. I think Ardarius Stewart will get drafted.
Oh, absolutely.
Those guys. It's some of those, you know, guys who aren't absolute first round draft picks that turn out to be really solid pros. That also speaks a great deal about what Alabama's done over the last several years.
No question. And then also another guy, Ryan Anderson. He may be right there in the second round, really early. You know, you look at some of the other ones in the past, like Courtney Upshaw that's been drafted in the second round. Landon Collins was a second-round draft pick. Remember, he was supposed to be a first-round pick, but he was a second-round pick. I mean, look at the success they've had. Eddie Lacy, when he's been in shape, obviously he's been a great player when he's been, like I said, in shape. But, you know, so they've had a lot of great players picked in the second, third rounds, whatever it's been. And I think you're right. I think that there is going to be some, when you're talking about Ardarius Stewart, you're talking about Dalvin Tomlinson. I think Dalvin Tomlinson's a guy that really interests me because he is very athletic. He's very versatile. And this guy has got the right mindset. I mean, when you talk about the perfect attitude, you know, Dalvin Tomlinson, he's a no-risk guy, if you ask me.
And, John, with all of those players, John, I think it's safe to say for Alabama, there are really no dogs in this draft, right? I mean,
not that I can think of.
They may be in the room, but not in the draft. You know?
Yes. Barking at a squirrel outside, I take it. Heck no.
Johnny, we love that stuff.
No, heck no. I mean, Rodney, we've had guys flush the toilet on us. We can hear the bath water splashing.
Pull the plug out of the bathtub.
Yeah, no doubt. So we've heard it all.
That's awesome.
Circling back to really what you, though, do a lot of, and that is, of course, follow recruiting and how it really kind of plays in with the NFL draft tonight. Because I think Saban's success is, to some extent, telling these young men, look who I've put in the NFL. Look who I've helped get to the NFL. We've had more NFL draft choices in the last 10 years than any other program. They really promote you. Walk through the Malmore Athletic Facility. There's a lot of pictures of guys that were former players at Alabama in their NFL uniforms. I mean, heck, the first time out of a football game at Bryant-Denny, they play a video of former players in the NFL. So certainly these young kids are aware of it. They see it. Heck, Alabama promotes it. They use it to their advantage in recruiting.
Hey, John, Barry, you guys probably remember this picture they took of the signing bonuses or whatever the contracts were of all those guys that went in the first round when DJ Fluker, and I can't remember all the names that went in the first round that year. There were three of them, I think, in the top 12. But they took some of the players that Alabama had drafted over a few years, and they made a picture out of their signing checks, their bonus checks or whatever it is, their signing bonus. And the money that they were going to make, and it became a recruiting poster. I mean, that's something that certainly catches a kid's eye. But I think when I talked to Christian Tutt last night, who's a highly regarded cornerback out of Thompson, Georgia, who's being recruited by a lot of schools, is narrowed to Alabama and Florida State for this upcoming recruiting class. And one of the first things he said was, they get people ready for the NFL. He said that's what catches your attention about Alabama. They develop guys and they get them ready for the NFL. So I think that you're exactly right. It certainly, when it comes to recruiting, that's a big key.
My final thought here, Rodney Ortider, Insider.com on the Dreamland Barbecue guest hotline. I agree with you in your insight into what Saban meant about the quarterback competition at Alabama. Do you have any insight into what Saban meant post A-Day when he says, we are not an elite team right now?
Yeah, I think it kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier, Barry, that, this team has a lot of talent, but they have a lot of growing to do. They have a lot of developing to do. I mean, you look on the defensive, again, they lost all those guys on the defensive side. It's a lot of talent, a lot of leadership. But I think when you look at guys like Deron Payne, Deshaun Hand, you know, Isaiah Bugs, Raekwon Davis, Quinnen Williams, Terrell Hall, Christian Miller, Rashawn Evans, when Sean Deion Hamilton, you know, returns, Dylan Moses, Mack Wilson, all those guys in the secondary that are back, Minka Fitzpatrick, Ronnie Harrison, Anthony Avery, you know, whoever it is at left corner, Trevon Diggs, Levi Wallace, Aaron Robinson, all those guys have a lot of ability and a lot of talent, but only a few of them have really established themselves. It's not like last year when you had a defense full of, you know, leaders, established players, all of those things. I just think it's how this team develops over, you know, the off season and as they move into fall camp. You know, how do these guys continue to develop and mature? Because there's a lot of questions I still think about this team in terms of that. But now, talent wise, they've got it. It's just going to be a matter of development and some, you know, getting some maturity and experience and chemistry.
Man, it's going to be a great night for several former Alabama players. Next week, we'll certainly talk about where they ended up and how they might impact their teams. But with everything involving Alabama athletics, Rodney Orr, the Tider Insider, is the man. Rodney, let our listeners know how they can get more involved with what you do there at TiderInsider.com.
Well, it's TiderInsider.com. It's only $48 a year, and you can get instant access with your credit card, or if you prefer, there's an address there to send a check. That'll give you access to all our premium information, recruiting stuff, whatever it might be. There's also a lot of audio from A-Day and some video of Tider Insider TV that your fans there can watch for free, John and Barry, on the front page of Tider Insider if they want. And our forums, I mean, it's nonstop. I mean, since the A-Day game, it's been nonstop. A lot of talk about quarterbacks, I can tell you. So it's all there at TiderInsider.com.
Always great to visit with you, Rodney. We appreciate your appraisal of Alabama athletics and your time on the radio. Thanks so much.
Hey, appreciate it, John Barry. Take care.
Thank you, Rodney. Great stuff, as always, from Rodney Orr, the Tiger.